This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Neurothera from Claire Labs. Your brain's complex metabolism requires many different nutrients for optimal performance. Neurothera is a broad-spectrum neuronutrition formula that supports the central nervous system and cognitive capacity. Used daily, Neurothera supports mental clarity and cognitive function. It provides the essential building blocks for optimal brain health. For more information and to purchase Neurothera, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And I know it's a much anticipated feature by many of you because, well, you never know what's going to come up. That's the beauty of Q&A with Layla because, well, a question might pop up that's perfectly relevant to your circumstances or to that of a family member. So, and it's a smorgasbord, so we're not locked into a single topic. So we're going to mix it up here during this next 45 minutes or so. With me is Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence, and she is going to capably assist me in fielding your questions. Hi, Layla. How are you?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Okay, very well. Thank you. And so we're well on our way into fall, and temperatures are getting a little more brisk. We're pulling out some of our fall garb. It feels kind of good.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, the changes.
Summer will come again.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I migrated to New York from Southern California. Is the weather is just utterly boring.
I do like the change of seasons. I have to say that. Yeah. Honestly, I would be bored to death in Florida or something.
Mm-hmm. Except yeah. I have to say that, you know, my body is going through a little bit of a compression. I think, you know, as a California boy, I always go through a little bit of a crunch as my body adapts to the cooler temperatures. You know, I was had a very, very active summer. And then I kind of hit the skids a little bit. You know, Yom Kippur was a fast day. And then, I don't know, I just, I'm adjusting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Fasting can make you feel chilly too.
Yep. So
and being then, hungry.
And what didn't help, and I got to confess, is the break fast, wherein, all manner of foods that I don't eat were served, but I was starving anyway. So I had to have, you know, a couple of bagel halves with, lox and cream cheese.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. Precisely what I don't. You know, generally eat and I paid for it. You know, my stomach kind of rebelled a little bit, but, you know, it's all good, in the spirit of the holidays. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so much for, you know, very, very strict adherence to, paleo diet. You know, sometimes, you need a break. Okay. So we're back on track now and, let's, first announce very exciting news that, a product that I really love. I personally take this product. I don't go a day without taking it. It's nicotinamide riboside. And nicotinamide riboside, to my regret, dropped off of our favorite dispensary, which is the Full Script Dispensary, which you can access via drhoffman.com or drhoffmanstore.com. That's where we have our protocols, and that's where you can sign up for Full Script, and you can access products that we talk about here in this program. And that's where our dispensary is. Our dispensary used to be a physical dispensary in our office. You remember those days, Layla, a couple of years back when we literally had hundreds and hundreds of bottles in a dispensary in our office, and patients would fill up their shopping bags on leaving the office with the supplements that I recommended. And now we have an online dispensary via Full Script, which is an electronic dispensing service. It's sort of the Amazon of supplements. And for a while, the nicotinamide riboside was available in a Thorne product called Niacel. Mm-hmm. And then Thorne, in its infinite wisdom, decided to part ways with Full Script. And to my dismay, patients could no longer buy nicotinamide riboside. It's a very valuable supplement. We can talk a little bit about its attributes, but you know, that would be a whole program. Now, it's back in a new guys, just with a new name. It's the same ingredient, nicotinamide riboside. True Niagen, it's called. That's TRUNIAGEN. And it's available via FullScript. And this is a great opportunity for you to obtain just a remarkably effective supplement in a very high dose form that's not generally available. They have the 125 milligram form, which you take twice daily. But in my opinion, that's not enough. And they also have, and it's more expensive, I admit, a little pricey, but it's the 300 milligram version of True Niagen, which is the highest potency available, I think, commercially. The Thorn product was a little less. It was 250 milligrams per capsule or tablet. I guess it's a capsule. And so by taking 300 milligrams once or twice daily, you're really going to ensure that you're going to have a lot of this energy-building substance. It's a precursor to something called NADH, which is a very, very important energy-carrying substance within the mitochondria. So I see it as a perfect complement to coenzyme Q10, which works directly on the mitochondria, but so too does nicotinamide riboside. And there's just literally scores and scores, perhaps hundreds of research projects underway looking at its potential to address many health conditions. But also, you know, just subjectively, I'll tell you that it's a really energy-supporting supplement. It's an anti-aging supplement, protects the brain.
Helps with DNA repair.
Yes, indeed.
That's actually the latest that we've heard from Dr. Jeffrey Bland about the DNA repair.
And did he talk about
now
that?
I think everybody should be taking it.
Did he talk about that? I actually missed that.
He did at the Integrative Healthcare Symposium that was last February.
Oh, okay, great.
And when he talked about nicotinamide riboside, he was talking about its importance in DNA repair.
And so what happens, I mean, let's let our audience know, what happens when you have faulty DNA repair? What's that about?
Well, mutation environmental toxins, stress, not enough sleep, and overindulgence, poor diet,
and just
all
the
of
aging
that.
Process itself. Our DNA sometimes, you know, it has to translate its code a myriad of times, and then sometimes there's a misprint, and the misprint, you know, there are some auto correction mechanisms, you know, like autocorrect on spell check. That fix that, but that mechanism becomes less robust as you age. And eventually, one of the theories about aging is that your DNA repair fails to keep up with the misprints in your DNA that occur periodically over the years. And, you know, the net result is disease and deterioration and death. So, you know, there you have it. I mean, it's just, to me, one of the most really exciting nutritional breakthroughs. I have to rate nicotinamide riboside is perhaps the supplement of the decade, although I think a rival supplement, and it's now becoming a supplement. It used to be sort of an illicit thing that you could just get in, you know, Colorado or California, is CBD. And CBD is becoming ubiquitous. You can get it.
Cannabidiol.
I just ran into an old friend, the owner of Wilner Chemists here in Manhattan. You know, he was walking his dog in the street, and he was with his wife, Phyllis. And, you know, I asked him, you now have CBD, right, on your counters, because we're actually coming in with the new sponsor, CVS Sciences, who's a maker of CBD, and they're telling people to go to Wilner's to get their CBD. And he said, yeah, we have many different forms, we have many different varieties. And I think that's another of the real exciting innovations in the nutrition field, is that CBD is available as an over-the-counter supplement. It's not an illegal, illicit thing anymore, and you don't have to go out of state to obtain it.
Right, right. That is very exciting news. So, wow, Dr. Hoffman, if you had to choose between the two.
No, take both.
Take both. Okay, that's fine. Right. We can do that.
Right, just go for it. It's among the, I mean, there are many other supplements, of course, that I'm very excited about, but True Niagen, it's great to have them back on board on FullScript, so check it out. All right, let's get to questions, please, and the way to get questions to us, once again, let's remind our listeners, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. We got quite a lot of questions in the mailbag, right?
We do. Here's an email from Brian. On a recent show, you discussed how cancer can feed on glutamine. Does this also apply to GABA and theanine, which I believe are similar supplements? I'm on active surveillance for prostate cancer and take 250 milligrams of theanine daily for anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Okay. So, well, here's...
You know...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I've not seen that they would be similar.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
GABA and theanine as well as the glutamate.
I think the only commonality is that you might consider GABA an amino acid.
Yeah.
It's not really a classic amino acid, you know, one of the essential amino acids. It's mm-hmm. gamma amino
butyric acid.
And it's a neurotransmitter. And to my mind, it doesn't really feed into any known cancer pathway. I mean, there's been some discussion about restriction of amino acids in cancer. Amino acids are the building blocks and constituents of protein. And
but that's specifically more like leucine, right?
Perhaps even glycine, which actually may feed into sugar. You know, we want to restrict sugar on a ketogenic diet, but, you know, like one magnesium glycate, you know, capsule isn't going to give you so much glycine that it's going to cause your blood sugar to rise. So I don't.
And our bodies naturally make glycine, so we're in a bit of a between a rock and a hard place with that.
Exactly. It's not. It's not what's called an essential amino acid in that the body can synthesize it, makes its own glycine. So I would say those are not to be concerned. Certainly theanine is not to be concerned about.
No. And theanine being a nice precursor to GABA as well, because it helps. And theanine is also what's in tea, especially green tea, to help attenuate the caffeine
And
in the tea, so you don't feel its effects as much.
Right. It's sort of a driving with a foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time when you drink tea, because it has both caffeine, which is a stimulant, and theanine, which is sort of a mild sedating agent. And tea being certainly an anti-cancer agent, although I can't tell you that theanine is going to have an anti-cancer effect. It's probably a neutral effect, neither pro nor anti-cancer.
I would say so.
Okay.
So Brian is inquiring because he's taking theanine, about 250 milligrams a day. He's on active surveillance.
Right. And by the way, for anxiety, let me just suggest CBD, which in itself may have anti-cancer effects, and CBD has wonderful, sort of mild anxiolytic, you know, it's a bit of a, I'm taking it, and frankly, I tend to be on the anxious side, you know, and, you know, I take CBD, and I don't really notice that it abolishes my anxiety, but maybe just takes a little bit the edge off extreme.
And sometimes
anxiety.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you need.
It's like a 20-30% effect, you know.
Yeah. I was just reading briefly, and I just kind of skimmed it because I had other things to do. Our friends at The Truth About Cancer, and talking about cannabidiol and prevention against cancer, and which is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I think it might be good prevention against glaucoma, or would that be marijuana in and of itself?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you don't need the THC for glaucoma, but certainly, look, and this is based on epidemiological evidence in that the Rastafarians in Jamaica are racially similar to the African Americans in the United States, who have a very high incidence of hypertension and glaucoma. Just, you know, on a racial basis, there's probably a genetic element to that. And the very self-same racial group who smoke a lot of pot, they do it on a ritual basis, you know, because it's part of their Rastafarian religion. Glaucoma is virtually unknown in that population. So,
wow. That's fascinating.
So I'm not sure that you can get the benefits of the marijuana, which is the CBD alone. But, you know, I actually have read some things to that effect. So maybe CBD has at least in part some of those anti-glaucoma effects. It is anti-inflammatory, and there's an inflammatory component to glaucoma as well. So there you go. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So, hey, go ahead and take GABA, take theanine.
Take your theanine, Brian.
Yep.
Okay. Best of luck to you.
This is a good point at which to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So please listen up. Here goes. Your brain's complex metabolism requires many different nutrients for optimum performance. Excessive release of adrenaline and cortisol, plus environmental exposures and oxygenation, may be impacting your alertness, memory, and other vital functions. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a broad-spectrum neuronutrition formula that supports the central nervous system and cognitive capacity. It's NeuroThera from Claire Labs. NeuroThera provides balanced neuronutrition. Used daily, NeuroThera supports mental clarity and cognitive function. It promotes blood, oxygen, and glucose delivery to the brain and helps protect against oxidative stress and inflammation. NeuroThera provides the essential building blocks for optimal brain health. I believe in NeuroThera so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Brain Health Protocol. For more information and to purchase NeuroThera, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our questions with Layla. What's next?
All right. We've got an email from Charlie. Oh, Charlie's asking about, this is actually a supplement / medicine that comes to us from Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Charlie asks, what do you think of chondrosulf? Mm-hmm. And what it is it's chondroitin sulfate shark. Mm-hmm. And it's manufactured by IBSA Biochimique in Lugano, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. It's
I didn't know that there were a lot of sharks in the Alps, but now I guess I stand corrected. You know, they have some of these nice lakes in Lake Como and, you know, up there. And I guess that's in Italy, but, you know, Lake Geneva, they have sharks. I don't know. It's like Swiss sharks. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, they might be getting it elsewhere. Yeah, it might be imported.
Right.
So chondrosulf is a slow-acting cartilage structure modifying agent. Okay. And it's a medical-grade chondroitin sulfate, pretty much. And it's been demonstrated, according to this, in clinical trials to slow the erosion of cartilage and improve mobility in joints affected by osteoarthritis. Now, chondroitin is helpful.
Yeah, no, there's no question. There are studies
on
chondroitin.
We know that.
And chondroitin actually, whether it's extracted from shark cartilage or whether it's extracted from cow cartilage, it's molecularly similar. Mm-hmm. And there are studies looking at chondroitin sulfate alone. I mean, the whole arthritis paradigm was based on glucosamine chondroitin, and it was thought like, you know, together they work well, and some studies just look at glucosamine, and some studies just look at chondroitin, some studies look at the combination of the two, and on its own, chondroitin has some benefits. The concern I have about this product is about sustainability, and as much as some poor guy got killed by a shark recently in Massachusetts, you know, the shark population in the world is endangered, and so harvesting a shark for cartilage, I'm not sure if it's that environmentally sound. And, you know, of course, the kind of sharks that they use for making shark cartilage are not great white sharks that are man-eating sharks. They're, you know, smaller sharks, smaller species that may become endangered because they're being commercially overfished. So that's the only concern I have. Now, there was, of course, if you hearken back, I don't know if you remember these days, probably early in your training, when shark cartilage was touted as an anti-cancer agent, because there was this book called, you know, Sharks Don't Get Cancer, which is actually erroneous because sharks do get a form of cancer. And the thought was that there was some property in shark cartilage, which was anti-angiogenesis. In other words, it prevented...
Anti-angiogenic.
Yeah, anti-angiogenic. Thank you. That would be the adjective. And that has been disproven. For a while, there was a big buzz on, you know, taking shark cartilage for cancer, and that got debunked. So, there's no question that there may be some benefits to chondroitin sulfate. I mean, chondroitin sulfate, look at it, it's like a long chain molecule of certain carbohydrate structure that's like linked, like a necklace. And so this product seems to interfere somehow with the process of cartilage destruction and may replenish cartilage.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. It says there's one study out of Actimed Austriaca. Mm-hmm. The effect of chondrosulf on proteoglycan synthesis by human osteoarthritic and bovine juvenile articular cartilage. I'm losing the audience now.
Yeah,
that's a mouthful. This was an in vitro study.
Okay, we're in the weeds. We're in the weeds. Weed whacker alert.
We need weed whacker. Right. They're talking that the interaction that they're observing may be with pro-inflammatory cytokines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, look, there's a science behind it, and I find that that's a plausible science. So, you know, other than the sustainability, that's the only qualm I have about that product. I mean, it might have superior benefits to other forms of chondroitin sulfate that are mm-hmm. bovine derived chondroitin sulfate, which I think that's the majority of chondroitin sulfate. Or I don't even know, could it be shellfish derived? You know, I know that glucosamine is somewhat shellfish derived in some cases. Or is that the chondroitin part? You know, so.
Right. No, well, we like for osteoarthritis, besides glucosamine chondroitin, we like MSM. We like plenty of fish oil. And I think everybody should make it a habit to drink a mug of bone broth every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a big fan of that. And that's,
I'm a big fan of that because I think that has a lot to, you know, the gelatin, the collagen, all of that is helpful mm-hmm. to joints.
Yeah, so, I'm looking up the WebMD article on chondroitin sulfate, and it says chondroitin sulfate is usually manufactured from animal sources such as shark and cow cartilage, as I said, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Charlie, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have next an email from Joel. Is plant-based calcium like a marine algae or another source of plant-based calcium, as good as calcium citrate or calcium malate?
Well, you know, this kind of speaks to this argument of synthetic versus food-based vitamins and minerals. Merely because something comes from a plant base doesn't necessarily make it superior to something that's chemically identical. You know, calcium is an element. Chemically identical, whether it comes from a plant or whether it comes from the White Cliffs of Dover, you know, which is pure calcium carbonate, or whether it comes from bone meal, which mm-hmm. is unfortunately the concern there is the contamination from things like lead. And so I really don't think there's any added benefit to calcium. You know, they had this whole thing about coral calcium. Remember that? Because that was supposed to be the really superior form. And then I said, our coral reefs are becoming extinct. So that became sort of an un-PC thing to talk about is coral calcium, dredging up coral to coral reefs and destroying them to give people in, American cities their calcium.
You know, that's so, I just remembered, this was a few decades ago, taking a vacation in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and we went on a scuba diving lesson, and the instructor said, don't you touch my coral.
Right. Just touching it,
and,
you know,
the way he sent that message, it stayed.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not, and let's talk about calcium sources from foods.
Broccoli,
are plants a source of calcium? Do they actually, let's say you're allergic to dairy, intolerant to dairy, and you want to get your calcium from foods. What foods are good sources of calcium? First, let's start with the plants. Are plants, any good at imparting calcium?
Sure. And I think the phytic acid or phytates may play a role in inhibiting its absorption.
That would be more in the grains.
Probably not as much.
That would be more in grains than in like green leafy vegetables, right? I don't know if there's...
Right, like collards. Yep. There's calcium in collards, kale, in broccoli, in almonds. Mm-hmm. And then if you're a fan of sardines with bones, canned salmon with bones... Mash those bones up and eat them. They're soft.
In sardines, the bones are soft,
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how
but
about,
even in the canned salmon, mm-hmm. that bit of cartilage in there, you can mash that up and eat it as well.
Right.
But, let's come back to bone broth. All that calcium from the carcass leaches into the broth.
Okay.
And that's a wonderful source of calcium right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even during the cooking, if you were to put a teaspoon to a tablespoon of just regular white vinegar or even apple cider vinegar, it can help leach the calcium
mm-hmm.
from the carcass into the broth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that something you do when you make your bone broth? I haven't thought to do that before.
I actually don't do that. And, you know, I don't make specifically bone broth. I'm making chicken soup, and I'm cooking it for a long time.
Okay. Well, I haven't done it over the summer because of the hot weather, but when it gets colder, I make a lot of soups, and they're mm-hmm. crockpot soups. So what I do is I'll make a chicken, and then I'll save the bones, and then I'll throw them in the crockpot, and I'll just cook them, and then I'll use the broth for whatever as a base for whatever soup I'm going to make. And, you know, it's always mm-hmm. like the soup of the week. Let's see, I have some broth. What do I do? You know, I'll throw in a bunch of vegetables, maybe some chicken chunks or something like that. And, you know, make up a big pot of soup. And that's, you know, for somebody, busy working person in Manhattan, you know, you come back after a hard day and you got a whole, you know, you got a whole jar of soup that you can then heat up. And that's pretty substantial.
You can additionally cook your vegetables in that broth. You can mm-hmm. use that broth to make cauliflower rice.
Right.
I mean, cooking things in a broth is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You can, there's all kinds of things. And some people will make a big batch like that, and then once it's cooled off, put them in ice cube trays
mm-hmm.
in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to keep them, too.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you just need a little bit if you're braising some vegetables or something like that,
mm-hmm.
making
mm-hmm.
some rice. So that could be helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, good. Let's pause because, as our listeners know, we divide our podcast into two parts. And so, Leila, give us a little preview of one of the questions that we're going to answer next in part two.
Yeah. Please share your wisdom on how to resolve anal fissures quickly.
Hmm. Okay, that's a nasty problem.
Yeah.
Let's tackle that in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Leila Mudin, who's our nutritionist in residence, and we're answering your questions as part of our weekly Q&A with Leila. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.